You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Well, welcome to hour number three, and you are listening to the Common Sense Show. I'm Dave Hodges, your host. Thanks to Bob Griswold last hour for that, I think, very important and very necessary Here's How You Survive. And thanks to Cliff Harris and to Ed Petrowski in the first hours, I brought in two people who work in the food industry. They understand farming, they understand climate, and they told you quite clearly, and you can go to Cliff Harris's website, I'm telling you right now that we are in the midst of trouble when it comes to our food. And exacerbating that situation is what the BLM is doing and the EPA is doing. They're trying to get all farmers and all ranchers off their land. And this is what underlies Ammon Bundy and what he's doing. There is an article here in the Arizona Republic, and I'm not going to mention the guy's name. He's not even worth my time. But he wrote, he lied so much. He said that, number one, Ammon Bundy took down fences on ranchers' lands that the Fish and Wildlife put up that they didn't want up. What a load of nonsense. I know for a fact that that's a lie. And they're mischaracterizing this people as anti-gun militants, that was a phrase, and they're peering out behind the bunkers. Ammon actually addresses that in the interview. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I tell you, I've had it up to here. You can see my hand right now. It's up to the ceiling. I've had it up to here with the lies of this administration, the abuse of this administration. And let me lay out the bottom line, and then we're going to go to Katie, because Katie has a letter she's going to read. But let me just lay out the bottom line here, folks. This whole thing with ranchers and farmers in the West and getting them off their land under these bogus reasons, these illegal confiscations, it's all about Agenda 21 and getting people out of rural areas and getting us into stack and pack. And here's a name for you, Mike Kruglick. He was Obama's first community service mentor back before Obama had a real job. And I don't really call being a community service activist a real job, but that was his real job. And Kruglick was his mentor. Still visits the White House. Got a picture of him in my article I ran today on the commonsenseshow.com. Here's the bottom line, folks. Kruglick, on his website, America2050.org, and he's the president's one of his key advisors on Agenda 21 issues. He says that we're all going to be in 11 stack and packs soon. 6 million each. Well, hold on, Nelly. We've got 315 million people. Not according to Kruglick, we won't. I think what Ammon Bundy is doing for standing up, saying we refuse to give up our land, we refuse to give up our livelihoods, we're standing up to tyranny. Folks, we're looking at genocide here. I mean, what else could account for this? Does Kruglick know when we're going to go war and there's going to be 250 million American casualties? Or does he know something else that we don't? Does he know what Bill Ayers, who launched Obama's political career, who told FBI special informant the late Larry Grathwall, guess what, boys and girls? We have to, when we take over, we're going to put 50 million Americans into concentration camps and we're going to have to murder over half of them. And those were 1968 population numbers. That's who launched this president's career. What Ammon Bundy is doing is he is forestalling, in my opinion, genocide. And I'm telling you, folks, right now and right here, you need to take this interview that I'll post later tonight, probably be in the wee hours, and you need to make this go far and wide. The public needs to know what we're dealing with. Katie, I want to bring Katie in now. Katie ordinarily has the very popular health segment. She is our health reporter, but she's a lot more gifted than that. She's got a whole range of topics that she can talk about. And she's been involved with me in the Bundy situation. She facilitated the interview that I had with Ammon. She set it up with her contacts. And Katie, I'm going to bring you in for a few comments, and then I want you to read this letter.
You bet, Dave. Thank you. And we are turning the health segment over to a mental health segment tonight because I'm sort of trying to squeeze this into a health segment. But I think it is a mental health issue because this causes a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress. And I'm so grateful that there are people out there in this country who are standing up to the man and standing up to the system that has been laid at our feet that is capturing us while we're busy raising our families and working and not really paying attention like we should, like our founders set it up that we should. So I think that the Bundy family are spearheading a gigantic educational operation. And what I wanted to do, this is just a passion of mine. I am on Carol Bundy's email list, and on January 11th, she sent out an email to her subscribers. And it's from a Renee Powers, who's an investigative journalist and hostess of One Mom on a Burrow. And this is a sort of an open letter about Ammon and what the group is doing. And after this letter, it's a great letter, but after this letter, you'll hear the interview we tried to score last Sunday night when all of our listeners understand very well we were shut down at just minutes before Ammon was supposed to come on. And then last Tuesday, we did secure a 40-minute interview with Ammon. And we want people to understand who Ammon Bundy and this group are. They have been infiltrated, but we want you to know who the true patriots are that are standing for us and trying to educate us. Anyway, this letter starts out, the following is an interview with Gloria Keys, a rancher's daughter, fourth generation rancher. She's from Mahler County and has a vested interest in her family's property, which borders the proposed monument. Gloria attended yesterday's meeting with Ammon Bundy, spoke and gave educational information to the community. This shows all of us how important knowing the facts and educating the public at large is. A rancher's daughter's notes and thoughts. A rancher's daughter takes notes on the meeting from January 10th, 2016, and it says, "Thank you, Ammon, for giving Americans courage again. Yesterday we had the opportunity to stand together, locals, ranchers, and friends, to share what we can do to take back our land and lives from the BLM. We met in Fields, Oregon at a local school, and there were many in attendance. The meeting was opened with the Pledge of Allegiance and prayer. It was a meeting that was colorful in discussion as the people voiced their opinions and thoughts, agreeing the government has not honored their people. Not all agreed with the methods taken, but the one united thought was the people cannot stand by and just let our lives be ruined. The words were fast and gave us hope and knowledge. So I took notes for later reference. The education gave us the courage. Without the courage to take a stand, this would not be a possibility. Education is so important. Before the men came into town, many felt hopeless and afraid, seeing no light at the end of the tunnel, but praying for a change. We saw land stolen, jobs in mining and timber stolen away. Then we saw our friends abused in what I believe was an attempt at making an example out of us to keep our mouths shut. The Hammonds were abused right in front of us, all of us. We saw the new meaning of framers, and to frame good people as the Hammonds amounts to tyranny, and it must end. The framers of our country gave us the foundation of our Constitution. The founding fathers of the United States of America were political leaders and statesmen who participated in the American Revolution by signing the United States Declaration of Independence, taking part in the American Revolutionary War, and establishing the United States Constitution. In 1773, historian Richard B. Morris identified seven key founding fathers, John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, Alexander Hamilton, John Jay, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and George Washington. In the winter and spring of 1787, 12 of the 13 states chose a total of 74 delegates to attend what is now known as the Constitutional Convention. Of these 74 delegates, only 55 helped to draft what would become the Constitution of the United States of America. More than half of the delegates had trained as lawyers, although only about a quarter practice law as the principal means of business. Other professions included merchants, manufacturers, shippers, land speculators, bankers or financiers, three physicians, a minister, and several small farmers. Several notable founders did not participate in the Constitutional Convention. Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Patrick Henry, John Hancock, and Samuel Adams did not attend the convention. The Bundy family, the Pacific Patriot Network, the militia, other American men and women who are all coming to town are the key to everyone in America gaining the courage and gaining the education to stand without fear. I was afraid what would happen with them coming to the refuge. So we took the time to go meet with them. What we found were other ranchers, other Americans, who were not scary or threatening, but helpful and caring. This is what Americans are supposed to do, to help each other and protect each other. As the days have passed since standing to be interviewed by Ammon a short week ago, our lives have taken a new hope and energy to stop the theft of our land, livelihoods, and homes. We are excited to share our courage and hope with all who are ready to support this nation again. Please see the pictures of the notes I have taken that are attached to this article. Read for yourself. Learn and see what we are able, that we are able to live free of tyranny. We were just taught to trust in a government that has overstepped its territorial bounds. We want to see the people treated with dignity and with respect, with attention to the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, and our unalienable rights. Natural law is being shared, and wow, what happens when we are reminded that the people, we the people, are truly who are to be served. Thank you, Ammon, for the education yesterday. Thank you for helping the people, for helping get our land back, and most of all, for giving Americans courage. And that pretty much is the letter, and I wanted to read that to open this up and let people know that, as Ammon said, you'll hear in the interview, these are not a bunch of guys sitting around cleaning their guns and chewing tobacco and, you know, aiming their guns through sandbags. They're actually up there working, and we talked about this during the week's show. They're getting surveyors. They want to see what the land, that they want to survey what land has been taken illegally by the federal government. They want to find out what resources, what the land is worth. They want people to come up who have skills and traits to help them formulate a case. Dave?
I'm almost speechless at hearing the eloquence of this letter.
Mm-hmm.
Because it speaks to the heart of who we are. And yes, that's true. We are Americans helping Americans. And that's what I hope people come to understand. This was what the show is about. We are trying to help. When I first got involved in this, I did so from a selfish perspective. I wanted to bring pressure on McCain and the globalists so they'd leave my property and that of my neighbors alone. And then I realized we're not going to have a country. Our children and grandchildren aren't going to have any future if we don't step up and call attention to this and start doing something about it. And hopefully this is what people perceive the mission of the Common Sense Show to be. And Katie, it was such a moving letter, and Ammon Bundy is such a moving person.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to tell you, I have, in my heart of hearts, I dread what's coming. You know how evil the other side is.
Mm-hmm.
Completely devoid of the Christian principles that this country was founded on. Completely devoid of respecting the Bill of Rights and individual liberties. Completely devoid of any sense of morality as we traditionally define it. All they know is the most primitive form of morality, and that's might makes right.
Mm-hmm.
And I fear the day when someone makes the call inside the Justice Department, whether it's Obama himself or a Loretta Lynch mob, or a field commander at Burns, Oregon, I fear the day that that command comes and they squash these brave men like bugs on a windshield.
Well, I will tell you, the more information gets out there, unlike the Randy Weaver case many years ago, unlike the Waco case many years ago, where the narrative was absolutely set in stone by the media, by the government, people just you know, they wrung their hands and said, oh, look at those crazies. If you read about the Waco incident, you also, if you read behind the scenes, the local sheriff never had a problem with David Koresh. He would come into town and they would grocery shop, and he had a very good working relationship with them. They weren't bothering anyone. They were pretty much living on their own independently, kind of what we're talking about now. They had their own food, they had their own faith, however they wanted to. Whatever they were doing that may not have been according to Christian principles, if they were doing something illegal, that's one thing. With their religion or whatever it was. But they didn't have to burn them down. But the point is, they had a narrative, the media put the narrative out there, and then everyone kind of said, oh, that's such a shame, and went on with their lives. I don't want that to happen with this. I don't know if this is the right place to make the stand. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing Ammon Bundy said at this conference, or this interview that I didn't read. Ammon Bundy's quote, he said, we're going to do this. We're going to give the American people courage, not via anarchy, but simply making it right. And that is Ammon Bundy, and I want people to share this information. I want them to know, God forbid something happens to these people. I want the American people to understand Ammon Bundy and his group are God-fearing people. They're family people. They love their country. They're ranchers, and ranching has been in their family for over 100 years, if you followed the Bundy case from 2 years ago, the Bundy situation. These are good people who love the country. They love their foundations, their freedom, their resources, their animals, whatever they're doing, just like everyone else. And so whatever the media wants to do to paint them as these crazy, quote, domestic terrorists. You know who's a domestic terrorist as far as I'm concerned? Those who are anti-Constitution, anti-Bill of Rights, anti-liberty, the globalists and the globalist agenda that are sweeping up this country in a gigantic oppressive net. And we've got to get back to our roots, get back to our understanding of God. Freedom is something God loves. God is on the side of freedom. And this country was, you can argue about who the founders and who the framers were and what their, you know, Freemasons, whatever. If you look at the big picture, this is the only country in history that was literally, the power was given to the people. That has been turned around. So these people bringing to our attention our roots. And that's what is so important about this. Ammon Bundy and his group, human beings, God-fearing men, family men, men who love their country, their families, their children, their wives. They're just like you and me.
Only they care enough about the country to do something about it, and they're not armchair quarterbacks. There's something I want to bring to light, too, because you will not hear this in the upcoming interview we're going to be playing, but I think it's very important that people are aware of this. There was a fire marshal named Briels who people are championing as a hero. My goal here is not to put the man down. I don't mean the man any reputational harm, but I don't view him as a hero. And let me tell you what he said and why I believe this. He said, we've been infiltrated by federal officials and da-da-da-da-da. They're harassing the locals, and they're trying to pretend they're militia members and give them a bad name. True. Thank you for saying that. That's where the courage got shut off. He was interviewed by Sheila Zielinski on the phone. And Sheila was quite clear when I spoke with her. There's absolutely no doubt, and I put this in yesterday's article at thecommonsenseshow.com. He was identifying these men as CIA, CIA, CIA. And then at the end, he got cold feet and said, oh, FBI. And he had met with this judge named Grasty, and this was the focus of the interview with Sheila Zielinski. And the judge said, don't you ever bring this issue in here again. You get out of here. You better shut up if you know what's good for you. And then he, of course, made a YouTube video and said his life's in danger, blah, blah, blah. Well, I got news for Mr. Briels. First of all, if you're on the list, and I found this out the hard way, you better be on top of the list and have lots of light on you. That's my best advice. And they may threaten your family, but you go public with this, your family will have nothing happen to them. The second thing that bothers me is it is CIA on the ground. I have an insider source who has told me the CIA is in charge of this operation. Why are they in charge of this operation? because of what they're hauling out of the Hammond Ranch, what they wanted to haul out of the Bundy Ranch, what they're hauling out of ranches all across this country. Mineral resources, and I've written articles on this, and I've cited independent studies that estimate that we have $128 trillion of underground mineral resources, and the people and the general budget, the general coffers that represent the people of this government are not seeing the wealth of this. This is being stolen right under our nose. And in particular, there's a company called Uranium One. And before people say to me, oh, Dave, this can't be true, this was printed in the New York Times, and I went and investigated and took it further. Hillary Clinton, very quickly, Hillary Clinton is involved in Uranium One. It's a Canadian-based company owned by the Russians, and she's selling uranium to the Russians to benefit her 2016 election. You can read all about it on the Common Sense Show. I've dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's. Thank you very much to the New York Times for their one-time honesty. I understand we got less than 2 minutes here before we go to the interview. Folks, I implore you, when I post this interview late this evening, early morning hours, I implore you, please, please, please take this interview and make it go viral. Let the world know what Ammon Bundy is about, what he's trying to do, and how much trouble we're in. Please do this. Please. I've never asked for our listening audience to do much of anything, maybe except defend a couple mothers that were being beleaguered by CPS, but you need to get the word out. Ammon Bundy is exposing massive fraud that affects all of us, and they want to silence the message.
And it may save his life.
Yeah, exactly. That was the last thing I was going to say. Thank you so much for saying that. You pulled the words right out of my mouth, Katie. It may save his life. We're counting down here, and you're going to hear a few seconds of silence. We're at 15 going into 10. Soon we'll be at 5, so I'm going to be quiet. Don't let the dead air fool you. The next sound you hear will be Ammon Bundy, Dave Hodges, and Sheila Zielinski.
Hello, Ammon. Are you with us?
Yes. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. Dave Hodges and my co-host for today, Sheila Zielinski, with you. And just let me say a couple preparatory things here. And we just got a short time to the break, but we'll certainly have a clear path there for the last half hour. Todd, we'll kill that break at 45, okay? So we'll complete everything at 30. So I want a 30-minute uninterrupted stream there if we can do that. Ammon, I want to tell you, I pray for your safety every day and those that are up there. And I know a lot of people across the country feel that way. You guys are a national treasure. The Bundy family stood up to tyranny on your own ranch. And I think you showed America, you know, the true nature of the tyranny we're under, that it's possible to stand up and defeat them. So having said that, I want to welcome you to the show. Know that you're talking to friends, and this isn't CNN or Fox. You get to say whatever you want to say, but just remember, it is a family show. So what do you want the listening audience to know about what's going on up there, what your objectives are, what you're trying to accomplish?
Well, as we, as you know, we first began to take a look at this, and we saw similar things that was happening to us as the Bundy family to happening to the Hammond family, and we were concerned that there was no one that was going to, you know, stand and really try to get justice here. So we began to communicate with the Hammonds. They're very friendly and open people. They had been abused tremendously. We began to see that and document those things. Communicate with other people, and others saw it as well. And not to take away, there was many others before us that reported on these abuses. But we had the ability to kind of reach the group and help them understand what was happening. Our objective at that time was simply to get the local representatives to do their job, to get them to stand and protect the Hammonds against this clear abuse of the Hammonds' rights. And we could see right off the bat that there was issues of double jeopardy, that there was takings from the federal government of the Hammonds' property without compensation, that there was violations of the First Amendment, and that they were being threatened for speaking to us, and also that there was a cruel and unusual punishment going on, to, amongst many, many others. And so we felt that we had to make a stand to make sure these things didn't happen to other people, and also to relieve the Hammonds. And then we began to see that this was going on to many, many more people in Harney County, that one time Harney County was the wealthiest county in the state because of the logging industry and also because of the ranching industry primarily. And now it is the poorest in the state because the federal government has locked up and controlled all the resources here. And we just really felt that it was our, so many people came out to help us and defend us. And we have been blessed tremendously because of that. We were freed and our lives were preserved. And so we felt it was our duty to come out here and to care enough about our neighbor to stand for them, and that's what we're doing.
Yeah, hang on one second. Todd, this is to our board op. Let's go ahead and we'll keep the 45-minute break. Let's blow through this one here at the bottom of the hour, okay? Because I don't want to go to break early because we don't know when the feds are going to mess with us again. Last night, Ammon, when your communications went down, so did both of my satellites, the phones, everything. So they did not want you appearing on this show. There's no question about that. Ammon, let me ask you this. Can you paint a visual scene of what's going on up there? How many people are with you approximately? And what's going on outside? Do you have contact with federal officials? What do you see?
Well, a lot of people are thinking we're hunkering down and, you know, peeking through slits in the windows holding our rifles, and that certainly is not happening. We are, there is people that are cycling in and out, so the number varies, but we are very strong and very organized. The core individuals are staying here. We are using the facilities here, which is has, I don't know, 9 or 10 different buildings, maybe even more. And we are using them and their facilities and their equipment and all of that, going around and helping ranchers in the area. We just got back. In fact, I was still on the road when you called. When we called, we just got back from opening up and removing some fencing that the Fish and Wildlife Service put in last year to restrict some ranchers from their grazing rights, and so that's what we've been doing, and we're just constantly communicating with the people of the area here, and we're working with them to give them the strength and the courage enough to stand and take back their rights. And so we're working. We're not bunkered down, and we're not afraid, and we will not let fear take over our decisions. We're here because we feel that the Lord wanted us here, and that we were to do a good thing, and so we will rely on faith, not fear.
Yeah, that's real obvious that you guys aren't fearful. Let me ask you a question with a phrase that we often hear. Do you think this is the hill to die on, or is it just the hill to make a statement and live to fight another day?
Well, I'll tell you this. We're not here to be protesters, and we never did come here to be protesters. We came here very simply. We didn't here to make, to cause a war either. In fact, that's exactly opposite. We felt that if we did not stand now, when the people had good reason to stand, and if we did not make this stand, that eventually down the years, and who, you know how close we're getting, eventually, very soon, that it would come to war. We felt that we needed to make the stand now so that we can peacefully go through this process, get the people back on their feet, without war or violence.
Are you finding, like we see in Northern California in that area, not only are they taking the minerals out, not only are they restricting usage of the land and exercising prosecutorial abuse against people like the Hammonds, are they also messing with your water up there?
Absolutely. That's one of the main complaints of the ranchers. They have not been able to drill wells for 5 years here. And even if, like, say, a well has an issue, has a problem, and they need to just use their same water, they're not able to do that. It's a real problem for the people here, a real problem.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that I see up in Northern California and Southern Oregon, there's 19 states, at my last count, called the state of Jefferson. They want to secede from those two states over these very same things. So, Ammon, I think this is something that's going to spread like wildfire across the West. What do you say about that?
Well, all I can say is I hope so. But remember, this is about the individual. The individual owns rights. Government does not own those rights, as you know. And this is about individuals standing up and uniting together to defend their individual rights. Because what we have is a situation here where government has taken the position that they own it, that they are the rightful users of it, and that they are the ones that can benefit and sell it and transfer it and be the beneficiaries of it. And as you know, that is completely opposite to what our founding fathers, our system of government was established on. The rights belong to the individual. It's very simple. The land and the resources belong to the people.
Absolutely. Let me bring in my co-host, Sheila Zielinski. Sheila, I know you have a couple questions.
Ammon, of course, we go way back with your dad. We helped in the BLM showdown get that to the public. How do you respond to people like the Chuck Baldwins, the Stuart Rhodes, clearly notable liberty-loving constitutional men, but this idea that what you've done is lawless, you know, whether intimidation by the boots on the ground, they say, and clearly the community doesn't want these guys there. Who are the loudest shouters? Ammon wants to ask himself, well, who are these, you know, could there be provocateurs? Could there be government, you know, obviously people that are installed there? How do you respond to that word, what they're doing is lawless?
Well, I would have to say, and it's very clear to me, that first of all, I'll just say that there are a lot of people who say they stand for the Constitution but do not understand it, who say that they're all about defending and protecting the Constitution, but yet they simply do not understand it, that in many ways it's become just an idea. Because what we are doing here is very clearly, and we stand very firm on constitutional principles, and that is that the federal government does not have authority to come inside the states and to control and administer its land and resources. And we find that in Article 1, 8.17. We find their authority, which they have to territories, in Article 4, 3, 2. And so, if you truly believe in the Constitution and you understand it, and that's what I'm basically asking people to do, is go to Article 1, 8.17 and understand that there are rules in which the federal government must follow in order to own or administer lands inside a state. And those rules are that they have to have consent from the state legislatures. They also have to purchase it from the rightful owner, and they can only use it for certain things, which are military purposes, national defense, and international trade, along with a few other needed buildings, which are like post offices and so forth. And so you can see that these vast lands that they control and they acquire and they force people out and they use the courts to take, all of those are actually very, very, it's very, very clear that they're unconstitutional, that they did not have authority to do it in the first place.
Well, certainly unconstitutional, but again, is this the way to go about it? That's what it's on burning on everyone's mind. Is this the way to go about it?
Well, I guess that's to be determined.
Okay, well,
I know it is what we felt was right. I know that it is certainly what we felt was right, but I can't make that decision for others. They have to see what we're doing. And I will say this, there has been a complete exhaustion of prudent methods, including through the courts, including through elected representatives. And we continue to keep saying that, oh, if we get this person in this position or these people in this position, or if we get the courts to do this, the courts to do that,
and so on and so forth. If we get them to do that, things are going to get better, and they don't. They've got very clearly worse. And just as our founders taught, this is the right way to do it. This is the way in which our founders did it. This is the way in which the black community got their rights. It's the way in which the women received their rights. And it's the way in which rights are protected and defended. And so I encourage those to go back in history and determine how things are really done.
Now, I think your historical parallels are very, very accurate. My concern is, let me ask you this. What kind of federal presence are you seeing there? How well armed are they? How many are there? Are they menacing and threatening?
Well, so we're 30 miles out of town, and so we haven't seen any federal or any other state or, you know, or county law enforcement presence, period, out here. None. We do know that they are in Burns. We do know that they have locked down their downtown, that they fenced off the court building, and that they also fenced off the schools and closed the schools down. We also know that they have a men that are stationed and equipment that are stationed at the school and at the airport. But these have become very clear to the people as fear tactics to keep them from accepting and unifying with what we're doing.
Well, they sound like police state tactics to me, Evan.
Well, yeah, when you look at
you guys
really
aren't threatening
the town.
You're not threatening civilians.
No, no, we're
yeah, exactly. Why do they have to take those measures? That's Gestapo stuff.
Well, they have to do it in order to, because what they're saying is that, oh, these people out there are so dangerous that we got to protect you, right? And but the thing is, and I'm not exaggerating, we have had hundreds, close to 300, if I was to give a number, of ranchers and people from the community that have freely come down into the facility here, to the refuge, that we have had open communications with. I mean, it's been a really beautiful thing, and the community is talking and working amongst each other. Yes, there is a lot to talk about, and there's some tremendous things that they are discussing. But this has opened up a dialogue that has not been, that basically if they spoke about before, they would have to worry about, you know, retribution, about being punished for it. And now they feel free to talk and to discuss.
So you're saying that when ranchers and farmers have spoken out before, the federal government has retaliated against them? If so, can you give me an example?
Well, the Hammonds are the best example. But, yeah, this has happened, I mean, all over. Anytime they spoke out in any way, it would be a trigger in which they begin to attack them to the point which they would ultimately take their ranch. And they would use methods such as not issuing permits or even ending permits right in the middle of contracts or even to the point, like you said, even to the point of using the courts to prosecute them. That not only happened because they spoke out, that also happened simply because they wanted their land. I mean, they may not have had any reason to do it as far as vindictively, but they might say, and this has happened to over 100 ranchers just in the refuge alone. But the refuge said, we want your ranch, and they say, well, we don't want to sell it. And so they go through a process to diminish the ranches to where the value, isn't worth anything, and then the ranchers pretty much buy it. And let me give you an example of that. I use this example because it's such a good one, but there were ranchers in the Sylvie floodplains, and they about 35 ranchers over there, and the refuge wanted to buy them out. They were some of the last ones, and they did not want to buy out, so the ranchers unified over there and put up a pretty good defense and protected themselves pretty good. So what did the refuge do? They took and built a canal and stopped irrigating all of the fields and areas of the refuge and put that water straight down the canal into the Malheur Lake, it filled up the lake and covered all the ranches and destroyed 32 ranches. And now underwater and ruined, their homes, their trails, everything ruined now. And they shortly after that, begged the Fish and Wildlife Service to acquire their lands. And many of those lands were bought while they're underneath the water. And then the water went down, and now they have those ranches and basically have added it to their vast holdings here. So that just gives you a little bit of an example of the kind of stuff that's been going on.
Absolutely. Ammon, here, let me tell this to the listening audience. I know Ammon Bundy is telling absolutely 100% the truth here. And anyone who's followed my show for any length of time know I got into the broadcasting business because this same thing happened in my community of 300 families. I was the spokesperson for our group, and I ended up doing a radio show. Ammon, this is how I got in the media. I used to be a college basketball coach and a professor. I didn't do this stuff until the government came after my property. They shut down our property rights, and we were pretty much new homes. We were acre and a half, 3-acre homes, 300 families. They said, you can't be there. What they wanted to do was put an international corridor and get our underground water. They wanted to come right through our land. They didn't want to pay us for it. They tried to force us off the land, just like what you're describing here. This is happening everywhere, folks. No one is safe.
Yeah, let me give you another example. Just in the adjacent county, Malheur County right now, they're facing a all they got to do is put a signature to it where they're going to be a monument placed over there, and it's twice the size of Yellowstone, twice the size of Yellowstone. And it's going to destroy anywhere from 350 to 400 ranchers. And they're just doing it arbitrarily, without constitutional authority, and that's why it's time that we stand. If we don't stand, the people will either be diminished to the point where they'll not have the strength to stand, or they will be wanting to fight in an open war. And
exactly.
We feel that
Ammon,
this is,
have to hold
this
it
is
right
the better
here.
Way.
I'm sorry. We're going to continue this after the break, and then we're going to ask you how we can help you. We're coming into a 2-minute break. We won't be long. But we've got a few contractual obligations we got to take care of here. And we come back, we'll have 15 minutes right up until the end. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back with Ammon Bundy in this riveting interview after a word from these sponsors. Well, we're rejoining Ammon Bundy, who's so graciously taken the time out of what he's doing outside the Burns, Oregon area to tell us about what's happening. And I know, Sheila, I think you've got a very relevant question that ties into what Ammon's saying as we went into the break. So let me throw it over to you, Sheila.
Well, the Hammonds are originally charged with, of course, a burn that got out of control, convicted by a jury of their peers. Then you have this trial judge issuing that sentence. But then, rarely, Ammon, do you see a Ninth Circuit appeal on an appellant. I mean, 4 years tacked on. What's your thoughts on all that? And how do you respond to people saying, well, these guys don't want Ammon Bundy and his crew involved? Do let the listeners know your thoughts on all that.
Well, first of all, they can call it what they want. They called it resentencing, but it very, very clearly is double jeopardy. And if we again go to the Constitution for clarification, we see that that is illegal, it is unconstituted, and it is that government or anybody puts a person twice put in jeopardy. And that's exactly what has happened. The Hammonds, even though it was wrong from the beginning, they endured through the court process, through a trial, and they were wrongly convicted because of many corruptions in the court. But they ended up accepting it. They did their time in a federal prison, and they came out and got back to their life and felt, okay, hey, look, we could put this behind us, as wrong as it was, we put this behind us. They went back to their families, back to their ranch, and then the prosecuting attorney, the U.S. Attorney's Office, decided that that wasn't enough, that they needed to go after them further. And so they appealed the judge's sentencing, the federal judge's sentencing, to the Ninth District Court of Appeals, and got them resentenced for a remainder of 5 years. And so Dwight will go to prison for 4 months, or excuse me, 4 years and 9 months, and Stephen will go to prison for 4 years. And if that's not double jeopardy, I just don't know what is. It clearly, it's the epitome of double jeopardy.
What's incredible, too, is Dwight is 73 years of age. I don't see how this serves the public interest in any way, shape, or form, and we should be outraged. Ammon, how can we help you? How can the public, the people that are listening here, how can we help and support your efforts?
Well, people have to, you know, well, one is we need people to come and to be here that are wanting to go to work. We need people to stand in defense, but we also need people that can help us with the records, because we're unwinding all these records to get them back into the people's hands. So anybody who has experience in county recording, or recording at all, in maps, in surveying, we need your help. We need you to come and work and to lay out these, to lay out this county so we can identify who's using what and transfer these rights, you know, through title and deed out of the federal government's hands and into the people's hands. But, you know, we need people to stand in defense so that, we can accomplish this and be protected while we do it. We need, and that doesn't mean you have to come for, you know, months. It means you might come for 2 or 3 days and cycle somebody out and give those people that are here a break. And, we also need, funding to do this. And I hesitate because I've never asked for funding before, but we do need that. We do have, resources and needs that we need to get because of the signage that we're changing over the signage back to the county. And if you want to donate to the website is c4cf.com, and that stands for Citizens for Constitutional Freedom, so c4cf, and there's a way you can donate there. And then equally important, or maybe even just as important, I guess I should say, is continue to be educated, and then to start the same things where you're at. Start it in your county. Get people to understand that the federal government does not have authority to be regulating their industries, to be regulating their lands, to be regulating their resources. And make that stand and stand strong on it and unite.
With a very robust audience that's tuned in, what's your final thoughts? What is you really want the people to know in all of this, Ammon?
It is very, very simple. The land and the resources belong to the people.
There you have it, folks. Dave?
I think that's well said. Ammon, let me sum up and let me see if I've got this right. You and your colleague showed up not to take anything over, not to engage the federal government on a violent basis. You showed up to make sure that the rightful owners of land and minerals and other resources is honored by the rule of law. Am I getting this?
I don't think I could say it better. And the reason why it's so important is because we understand what is happening to the economy. We understand what's happening to wealth. And if we can make this stand and get the resources back in the people's hands, back to them producing and profiting from it, back at being free again so that we can truly get back on our feet, that's what's going to help us recover. That's what's going to be the key to recovering, not some change or act in Congress. It's the people actually getting out there using the land and resources to benefit, that's going to change the economy. All wealth is generated from the land and the resources. And everything that we live in, our homes, our clothing, our food, all come from the land, and all wealth is generated from it. And so we need to realize that and protect it and make sure that government doesn't claim it as their own.
Ammon, I'm going to drop a bombshell here. I wrote an article a few years ago, and I recently referenced it again, and it has to do with a study done by a private think tank group where they said we have $128 trillion of untapped resources under the ground. Are you aware that the wealth is that vast?
I'm not aware of the numbers, but I have seen, you know, maps and so forth that show the resources, especially in the West. And they are tremendous. The Lord has blessed this country with everything we need to be happy and to thrive and to, you know, be a productive people.
Well, one of the things
I'm not aware of that.
You know what? I'm going to forward that to your website if you've got a communication venue there. Excuse me. I'm going to forward that to your website so you can reference this. But
please do.
One of the other things that I'm aware of is I've been covering this now, gosh, probably for 9 years, is the abuse on Native American lands towards their resources, where the BLM and the National Forest Service lets people come on to Native land and steal their resources without compensating them, in violation of the treaty agreements made between the United States and the various Indian nations. I would think they would make really good allies with your colleagues.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I reached out to my contact today, actually, and he is reaching out to the tribes here because they have expressed their desire to get things straight as well. And so that communication has not happened, but we are opening that up, because you're exactly right. The federal government has violated every treaty agreement on every reservation since they made it. And so, and we know that we're all children of our Heavenly Father. We all have rights. That we do not have a monopoly on that. And all rights need to be defended, not just ranchers or loggers or, you know, even the financial industries or the auto industries. It needs to be all people, and that certainly includes the Native Americans.
Absolutely. Sheila, any final thoughts or questions for Ammon?
Well, Ammon, just know that there are many people praying for you guys, and of course, if we can do anything, you know how to reach us as well. I ask people, there's a lot of armchair patriots out there, a lot of armchair patriots. So I just ask that everyone reach in their pocket and start donating to these fellas. I think it's an amazing cause. Again, I don't know if it's Concord or Lexington, but I can assure you, Ammon, we do very much empathize with your plight, and we will be praying for you, sir.
Ammon, I have
thank
one
you very final much.
I very well said, Sheila. I have one final question for you, Ammon, and that is, has the federal government made any overt demands towards your group?
They have not. There has been no communication.
I find that odd.
Very.
I find that eerily strange. I think they're afraid to engage at this point, because I think they're afraid of turning you guys into martyrs, because the numbers would grow exponentially.
Yeah, well, there's certainly that, but it is a lose-lose situation. But you also have to acknowledge, and sometimes it's difficult for it to do this, but there are good people in the federal government, and they don't want, and they actually support us. They actually understand. And so I would bet, and I don't know this, but I would guess, I'm not a betting man, I guess, so I wouldn't bet, but I would guess that there's a little bit of a conflict between them as well, and there's a little indecision there, and also it's a lose-lose situation for them, because if they try to, say, come after us and prosecute us or so forth on these issues for occupying this place, what they'll do is they'll raise the question of whether this is territory or state, and it will go all the way to the Supreme Court, and they will clearly lose. And so that would be detrimental to them.
Absolutely.
In all areas. So,
Ammon,
we're in a pretty good position.
Ammon, we're running up against the clock. I wanted to give you just a second here to give out that website once again where people can follow this.
It's C4CF. Now, that's the number four. So C4CF.com.
Got it. And I'll put that out in the follow-up article and the rebroadcast I'm going to put out on this. Ammon Bundy, we stand in support of you. And if there's anything that we at the Common Sense Show can do, Sheila and I will be happy to help you. And from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you for taking time out to be with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, there you have it. The voice of a terrorist. A domestic terrorist.
Isn't that crazy?
There you have it. CNN and Fox. Mm-hmm. You people ought to be ashamed to even sit behind a microphone, write a single article. You should be ashamed of yourselves. There you have it, folks. I think we're still the only ones in the independent media that have had a full interview with Ammon. Let's hope that's not the case. We need to get people interviewing them left and right because you hear what they're all about. Katie, your reaction in the time we have left.
I thought it was great. You know, the one thing I took from that, he said, the point about the Constitution being an idea. It is an idea. It was an idea. But that idea has been actualized for several hundred years. And over the last, gosh, I'd say since Wilson, it is being nullified and undermined underneath our noses. Parents, teach your kids the Constitution. Teach them freedom, liberty, their rights. It's got to spread like wildfire. And thank you, Dave, for putting this on again. It was great.
Yes, and I know I'm already getting emails. One lady, it's hard to read this. Dear Dave, I'm here in tears as to what's happened to our country.
Wow.
And the persecution of good men like the Hammonds and Ammon Bundy and all that work with them. The other side should be ashamed and they should fall to their knees and beg for forgiveness from the Almighty.
Wow.
And that would solve it all. She's right. Thank you, Elaine. It's hard to read that with a dry eye.
Yep, and this is a wake-up call, ladies and gentlemen. This is so important. Really get this out and let's pray for this entire group up there and pray for our country.
I pray for the safety of the FBI agents that are there too. And I agree
yes.
with what Ammon said. You know, these FBI agents, they have family members, they have kids that go to school, they have feelings. Most of them are good people. And I pray for their safety. I pray that God watches over all of them and does not let this escalate to violence. I pray that Ammon Bundy is a beacon of truth and will spread throughout the country and we can push back these forces of evil in the name of God. This is what I hope for. Well, boy, it's hard. It's really, I'm glad we're at the end of the show because I don't think I could continue much longer because it is so disheartening to hear what's happened to our country and how few of us have the courage of an Ammon Bundy to stand up. Please stand up. The first thing you can do is circulate this interview so people will know the truth. Well, Katie, we're out of time, and we'll be back on our regular programming, as they like to say, next week. Our thanks to Bob Griswold, Eddie Petrowski, and Cliff Harris for joining us. And it's been a truly remarkable show. And thank you to Ammon Bundy and
yes.
all that are with you. Thank you for standing up for the rest of us. Go out and have a great night, everybody. God bless everybody.